say, I don't believe that crystals are inherently bad, but it becomes an issue when you're putting your faith in this object and not in the person who created it. Manifestation in itself is not something that's new. You know, the Bible talks a lot about there's life and death in the tongue. God has given us that power to declare what we want to happen and declare victory or to say these things. But there was a condition with that, and the condition was that the glory goes to God.
So right now you have a lot of people who are like saying, okay, like I'm a Christian, but I also burn sage, or I'm not a Christian, I manifest. You know, there's like a spiritual new age realm that's mm-hmm. thing that's going on, and there's also like tradition and like traditional, right. like that traditional Christian perspective.
Okay, so the whole idea of using crystals to manifest specific things has always been something I've struggled with, just because I definitely consider myself to be a very spiritual person. I'm really big on meditation and just making sure I'm doing what I can to make sure my feet are planted. I am really big on there's no way that God created Earth and created us as these complex beings without us all being connected to Earth. Like, even in the Bible, God talks about making sure that we take care of the Earth. And so there's nothing in me that believes that God made all of these things, the universe and the Earth and wind and animals and us, and that we're not all connected to each other in some way. Like, even in the Bible, he says, if we don't sing to him, he'll make the rocks cry out. Like, we all are kind of together in that we are God's creation. So it makes sense to me that people would want to find a deeper way to connect with nature or with Earth. But it's something I've struggled with, because there's a thin line, there's a slippery slope where at what point is it we're using this to connect to God, and at what point are we using this in place of God, where it becomes like idolatry, right? God is a jealous God. And so using crystals as a way to conjure up or to seek out specific things, you're on a thin line. You know what I'm saying? It's, you can easily slip into that whole idolatry thing. And that's what happened, you know, with in the Bible, when the Israelites, when they were serving pagan gods and like making these idols out of gold and wearing certain gemstones stuff. This has happened before. I don't think that crystals inherently are just evil things. Like, they grow on the earth, like, and God made the earth. So I don't think they're inherently evil. I think when it becomes a problem is when we use them as the manifestor and not use them as spiritual tools, right? Because even I did a lot of research for this because I wanted to make, it's crazy because I went to like this magic store, which I should not have went to, but I'm really into
like it. Recently?
Yeah. This was like maybe about like a couple weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
I had did an interview for work, and there was this candle that this woman had, and the candle has like, it has affirmations on it. But on the candles, also instructions on, you have to leave this burning, you don't blow it out, you smother it out. Now, so this is a very interesting candle. Like, I would like to have something like this to give me affirmations and instructions on how to make sure I'm putting pure intentions into, you know, this space.
Okay.
So she got it from this store. That's what made me go to the store, you know. And while I was there, I grabbed some of that, but I also grabbed like this oil. And the oil is supposed to help you manifest abundance.
Mm-hmm.
When I got home, I used the oil one time, and I kid you not, like, I just felt off the whole day. And I pray a lot. Like, I pray every morning. I try not to leave the house without praying. There are some days I do leave, but I always feel awkward, or something's always off when I don't leave, when I don't pray before I leave.
Yeah.
But when I used this oil, I felt very off about it, and I haven't used it since. And I really struggle with it because the bottle said magic oil for abundance. And you can't believe in magic and believe in God at the same time. Like, the Bible is very specific about the occult, about witchcraft. It's very, very specific about that. And so this oil made me feel very weird, because I don't really know how this person prepared this oil to be the, you know, we're Christians. We anoint each other with oil all the time.
Yeah.
But we don't sell it off as magic oil or healing oils. Like, we pray over it, and then while we're doing it, we're praying again.
Yeah.
This didn't really seem like the same situation. And I actually ended up throwing it away. I feel like God is not an author of confusion. So if you're confused about something, that's a sign.
Yeah.
And so I don't, like, I'm saying all this to say, I don't believe that crystals are inherently bad, but it becomes an issue when you're putting your faith in this object and not in the person who created the object.
No, I feel you. So like, and so for me, it's interesting because it's like, I've grown up in the church, and I've kind of seen like your typical response that you see when people talk about manifesting, or mm-hmm. they talk about crystals, they talk about burning yeah. sage. It's definitely like very like, whoa,
what are you doing? Yeah.
We're not on that. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I yeah. think that as Christians, we have to be more loving about like the way we communicate with people, because at the end of the day, everybody's literally just trying to
they're trying to figure it out.
Yeah, like succeed in life and have peace. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you can if you're being empathetic, it's easy to kind of see like, oh, I can see how you might think that, oh, this crystal or burning this sage is the way to go. And I like how you were talking about the fact that God made everything. So if God made everything, things aren't evil just inherently. But where things become a problem is when you decide to put the thing that God made in the place of God, like you said.
Absolutely. I feel like manifesting, this whole manifest, say what you want thing, I don't want to say it's trendy, but it's definitely been picking up like in the last couple of years. Like, we see it on Instagram all the time. Manifestation in itself is not something that's new. You know, the Bible talks a lot about there's life and death in the tongue. God has given us that power to declare what we want to happen and declare victory or to say these things. But there was a condition with that, and the condition was that the glory goes to God. That if I say, I'm going to do this, and this is what I'm going to do, and it's going to happen, and I say that, when that happens, the glory isn't mine, or and the glory isn't in my words. The glory is, this is part of God's will, and I decided this for my life, and I tell him the desires of my heart, and he made it happen. And we lose. Manifestation in itself becomes that, like I said, that slippery slope when we forget to give credit where credit is due. And that's why I feel like a lot of, especially old school Christians, are like, ain't no universe, ain't no manifesting, ain't no, like, no, that's witchcraft. I can see how they would feel that way. I can also see, like, I've seen the power of my words, and I've seen the power of other people's words, so I can see how people would think that, oh, I said this happened, and this happened. The important part is, you said about manifesting things that aren't necessarily of God. I think that's part of why having a relationship with God is so important. There are certain things that I just have no desire for. Like, you know what I'm saying? There are certain things I do have a desire for. Mm-hmm. It's because I check in a lot, and I check in with God, and I always say, like, let your will be done. There are certain things I used to want that I don't want anymore. And I've noticed that those things, those desires have fallen apart as my relationship with God has grown. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have a friend who has no desire to get married, no desire to have kids. I want kids, and I want to get married, and I've never changed my mind about that. But that's what I'm saying. Like, God puts certain desires in your heart for a reason. You know what I'm saying? Aaron doesn't have the same desire. So when you check in with him, the things that you want to manifest start to align more with what God will want for you. And so I think that's very important. Like, when you manifest, to make sure that you're checking in. I'm kind of getting away from using the word manifest, because it's more like a declaration. You know what I'm saying? God says to declare, you know, what's on your heart to him, to declare what your desires are to him, and to be specific about that. So it's tough. I think the problem comes because we've replaced the word God with the universe too. And like I said, God is a jealous God. And I don't judge people who do practice like crystal healing or Reiki healing or things that I'm not sure align with my spirit, because we are called to love people regardless. Like you said, be empathetic. You can't be empathetic to a person if you refuse to be in the room with them. You know what I'm saying?
Like, and that's,
that's the most important part. And I know we weren't talking about this, but a lot of people steer from the church because the church can be a very judgmental place. Whether you believe the exact same things that I believe or not, whether, let's say you do use your crystals, I'm not going to be like, can't talk to you, don't want to be around you. Jesus hung out with crooks and thieves. You know what I'm saying? Because he knew that the way he lived his life would be an inspiration, because he's steadfast in how he pursued God and stayed connected to God. And he changed a lot of lives that way. And we're called to we are called to live life as closely as we can to how Jesus lived his life. Now, we're human. You know, Jesus was a spiritual being, and he was, you know, the Son of God. Like, he, you know, he had these, we worship him because of who he is. You know what I'm saying? We are super, super human and super, super flawed. And so, of course, we're naturally going to sin. That's just, God acknowledges that he knows us. He knows our hearts. He knows that we're going to try. But we're called to live the way Jesus lived. And the way Jesus lived is, he was very open to everybody. I think that we just have to make sure that when we're doing these things, that we are giving credit to God, so that when we are in the room with people who might not believe what we believe, if they are inspired by us, they know that inspiration is not just us, because it's the God that's in us.
No, it does. And I love everything that you're saying. And I think that that's something that like I'm really passionate about. Just like as Christians, we got to remember that, like, we got to remember our role. You know what I mean? Like, if we're if we really are Christians, right? We're called by God. We got God on our side. We don't have to be scared of like witchcraft or like these type of things to the point where it's like, oh, you do you manifest, or I'm
just, away from it. Yeah,
yeah, stay away. X. You know what I mean? We don't gotta. We don't gotta do that. Really, what we need to do is meet them in love. Understand. Oh, we may not change their opinion in this one conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then also, you know, when we can, bless them with the, you know, like quality information, or like the information.
Yeah.
So like for me, to be honest, like I never really like looked like, because I grew up in the church, I've always been on that like kind of like, well, I know that ain't it. You know what I mean? So like, if I would hear about like manifesting, or if I would hear about these buzzwords, sage, crystals, I would always just kind of be like, well, that ain't what we on.
Yeah.
Just because I've been raised in church, and I've kind of just been trained to kind of know like that ain't it.
Yeah.
But I did take some time to kind of research it, because I think it's important to understand it if we're going to help people kind of like understand why that ain't it. You know what I mean? Instead of just saying that ain't it, we kind of have to explain, oh, this is why it's not it.
Yeah.
And I think that, so from doing the research, it was interesting because like, one, I got an understanding of like how these things like work. Right. So like, so let me read a couple more things. So like crystals, right. So like, let me pull it up. So, okay. So crystals. In the New Age movement, crystals are believed to be metaphysical healing tools that have the ability to raise your vibration, improve your mood, and cleanse your energy fields and your body. Many people basically believe that, like, if you put like crystals near you or like in your home, it essentially can like boost your morale, boost your, like, enhance your yourself spiritually.
Yeah.
There was a psychologist named Dr. Christopher French, who did a research study in the University of London, where he basically they took a real crystal and they took a placebo crystal, and they basically had like a test group of people like research to see if the crystal worked or not. When they did that, they actually realized that there wasn't like any like difference, and like if there was someone who believed that the placebo crystal worked, then of course they may have seen things, but essentially like the results were non-conclusive in the fact that,
because it goes and it's funny that you mentioned, I saw that study as well, and it's funny because it goes back to, it's not these things, it's you, and it's you. Like I said, there's a verse, the verse says there's life and death in the tongue. We have the power to will we want in our lives if it aligns with what God wants for us. God gave us that power to say this, this, and this, but God gave us that power to acknowledge him in that. You know what I'm saying? That's not to say, if I say I'm going to get $1 million tomorrow, that's not how God works. You know what I'm saying? And who said that that's in line with my spirit or what God will have for me? But it becomes a problem when we rely, when we're saying I'm healing myself with these crystals. No. You prayed about it, and God is the one who's doing the healing. And I think, like you said, it's about what you believe and what you will into your life based on what God would have for your life. I can't just will certain things in my life because that might not be what God has planned for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like I said, I don't keep crystals. Like, I think crystals are nice to look at. They're a nice decoration. But I had a friend who actually was like, you're playing with fire right now. A long time ago, which made me kind of question the crystal thing. I don't keep them in my house because, like I said, it's a slippery slope. It's easy to be like, if I want something so bad and I know this crystal is going to get it for me, I might put my faith in that crystal and not in God. So for me, I don't want to play around with it at all, because God is jealous. God wants his credit, and God does not play around.
God is jealous. And
yeah.
And essentially that is like, so that is like, what idolatry is, like putting something up before God.
But this thing and I and God. I think the other thing too, like, I want to talk about this, about sage, burning sage. Burning sage, I think I burn sage in my house every now and then.
Okay.
I burn my Palo Santo. Now, good things happen. Palo Santo. The reason I burn them is, one, I like to get my energy together. I definitely believe that we're spiritual beings living a human existence.
Okay.
And so it's very important to check in the spirit, to ground yourself, to know yourself, to meditate, and just be one with yourself. But God even directed Moses to burn incense. Like, incense in the Bible, a lot of times you'll see God the temple, they'll burn frankincense, or it's not because this is going to bring this good thing. It's because this thing reminds you of what your intentions are when you're here, and your intentions to be in the spirit. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times when I burn Palo Santo, it's to remind me to welcome in the blessings that God has for me and to focus on those blessings. Or if I burn sage, just like, my energy has been off. If I want good things to happen to me, I have to put myself in the right mind state to receive those things. And this, and the other thing about sage and Palo Santo too, is that they have like antibacterial, antimicrobial properties too, which I think a lot of people think about too, especially people with asthma. But when I burn it, it's not because this sage is going to clean my house. It's because this sage is going to help me to remind myself, and it's a spiritual tool to set my atmosphere. So when I'm in alignment with God, or I'm in meditation with God, all attention is on God. Does that make sense?
Exactly. So it's like
it's a tool. When these things, there are a lot of instances in the Bible where the disciples, or Moses, for example, or Joshua or Abraham, they use spiritual tools at the direction of God. But the difference is they use it with God and not in place of God. And I think that's what the biggest part is. A lot of times I'm seeing these meditations and these manifestations and these smudgings and stuff like that, there's no mention of God in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. A couple things. So like, for one, like, if God made everything, right, there's tools, everything's a tool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Absolutely. Like, this microphone that we're speaking on right now was made out of things that God made, mm-hmm. and it's helping get our voices recorded.
Absolutely.
If, and in the sense of like the hospital, or pharmacy, there's medication that's mm-hmm. developed through plants that grow out the ground. So like, everything has a purpose. And I love it really just comes down to, you just can't put God, you just can't replace God with these things.
Yeah.
But it's interesting too, because when I was looking into it, it's like, there's research studies that can almost kind of prove that some of these natural spiritual solutions may not be backed by research, even if they were to work. Like, even mm-hmm. if, like, let's say, like, when you did keep a crystal by you, you felt an increase in your mood. Mm-hmm. Even if that were to be the case, you do kind of have to ask yourself, okay, if it did work, what am I doing though? Because like, the Bible does talk about there's sorcery, there's mm-hmm. Occult practices. Mm-hmm. So like, even the Bible acknowledges the fact that like, there's another way of like practicing spiritual practices. Mm-hmm. And that way, in the Bible outlines, will not lead to your best life, and all of that.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think that the debate really isn't even like, oh, do crystals really work, or does burning sage really work, or is manifesting really like the best way to go, or mm-hmm. and all these other different natural things. I think the real answer to the problem really is just saying, okay, what is my God? Yeah. What am I serving? You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, you're always serving something. Like, even outside of this spiritual conversation, like, everybody has a master. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, in life, like, I could have a master of finances, like money. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or I could have a master of sex, or woman as a man. You know what I mean? There's just so many things that, like, can rule you and ultimately really make you a slave to those things. Yeah. You know what I mean? And absolutely. It's like, I'm like, at the end of the day, you got to really just ask yourself, like, okay, what am I putting my faith in? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, as Christians, we're called to put our faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's really like, and really what that is doing is putting your faith in like an unlimited resource.
Yeah.
Versus putting your faith into something that like really is something that God made.
Yeah.
And if God didn't make it, something did.
Yeah.
And is serving the thing the answer, or is serving what made that thing the answer?
Right.
It's like, and that's where this kind of, it makes clear sense to me. Like, mm-hmm. even if I didn't believe in Jesus, if I didn't believe in God, mm-hmm. you just have to ask yourself, okay, like, these crystals didn't come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
This sage didn't come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That's why I do love like the how simple God made it with being a Christian. Like, have faith in Jesus.
And it's
you know,
easy.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think that, like, it's very important to continuously question, what is my master? What is my God?
Absolutely.
But in doing that, it's also like, I don't know, like sometimes I just think like, we don't have to be so loud where the Bible is ambiguous, right? So like if the Bible's, you know what I mean? Like if all the different Christian denominations are really developed really just based on like difference of opinions on like where the Bible is like,
it's about different interpretations.
Somewhat gray, right?
Yeah.
But where the Bible is clear is basically, yo, like Jesus is the way, have faith in God.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate path. If you could be someone with a 2 IQ or a 1,000 IQ, you can connect with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think like, it really hurts me to, well, not hurts me like that, but I just don't like seeing like, people getting rejected by Christians because they're like leaning into these natural practices. I really wish that like it wouldn't be this X thing. And
like,
it's
you're practicing, you're from the occult or you're witchcraft. Like, you know, I think that there's so much in the Bible, but there's also so much that's not in the Bible that we don't know. And I think that's why the Bible speaks about faith so much and constantly, because God, he knows what's going to happen before it happens, right? He knew way back 2,000 some years ago that today we were going to struggle with this. And that's why faith is a recurrent theme in the Bible.
Yeah.
I think that because we're human, there are just so many things that naturally we are just not going to understand. It's beyond our comprehension. And that's where faith fills in those gaps. But I also think it's human to want to have something to fill in that gap as well. You know what I'm saying? Faith is not easy. Faith is something that you have to wake up every day sometimes for some people and choose. And, you know, the evidence of things not seen, as a human being, you want to feel certain things, or you need to have these answers, or you need to have these questions. I mean, yeah, these questions answered. You need to have something tangible. You need to see the fruits of your labor. It's human nature to want to have something to cling to and to hold on to.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't surprise me that people are leaning so much into crystals or leaning so much into these things. It's human nature to want what you want. You want it in this way, and you want to find a way to do that. And like I said, faith is hard. The biggest component of faith is trust. And trust is not something that's always easy to do when you can't necessarily see God in the flesh or see Jesus in the flesh. You have to lean into that. It's difficult, especially because sometimes we want something so bad, and that's not what God wants for us, but we want what we want. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I it doesn't surprise me that people lean into it, but I think as Christians, it's our job to, like you said, welcome them in regardless. Jesus is really good at softening the heart. Like, I'm a testament of that. I'm sure you're we've been through things, and you can't help but find the wrong. And you have to really approach each person with empathy, understand, like, you're going through this and you've been working hard and you might have had these struggles you've dealt with. It's natural for you to want something to cling to that you can hold and that you can feel and that you can literally see. Because sometimes you'll pray to God for something in 2022 and God might not bring that to you into 2026. But if you have this crystal that's there and everybody told you it's going to bring you wealth and money, of course you're going to want to cling to that because you might feel like your prayers are going unanswered. I think that's natural, you know?
No, yeah. And it's crazy because it's like, I just don't like the fact that like right now a lot of us are like just like really just so desperate. We're and rightfully so. We're so desperate for like to feel secure in life. We're so desperate to feel loved, feel that peace, that we're almost just grabbing at
whatever
it looks like it might work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't even think, to be honest, like I don't think that like your majority of people who like have crystals or like have sage are even like just 100% that this is gonna work.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, if this might work, if it might work,
whatever what I'm doing now ain't working, so it's worth the trying this.
I'm gonna grab this, I'm gonna grab that.
Yeah.
And with the combo of everything, something will work. And it's like, I feel like we gotta kind of like get down to like just thinking about it a little more to really find out, oh, what's really going on. So that you don't waste time.
Yeah.
So that you don't waste time using things that didn't work. Like, if I'm using 1,000 things, I want to know what's that one thing out of the 1,000 things that actually worked, so I don't got to do everything.
Yeah.
And
but I think God makes things, I think that God has it framed that way where things are not just going to come like this, because he wants us to learn how to trust him.
No, 100%.
He didn't give us all the answers on purpose. You know what I'm saying? He wanted us to live our lives and have these experiences. but he wanted us to realize that we cannot get what we need or what we want on our own. I think that that's intentional. He wants us to lean on him because he has our best interest in mind. And like I said, I think it's human to be like, well, I talked to God and I didn't see this happen, so I got to try something different. You know, it's hard. I think the one of the most important things as Christians to do as well is to be brutally honest about the struggles we have in our faith or sins or things that we're struggling with, like whether that's gambling, whether that's sex, whether that's whatever it is, to be brutally honest about that. Like, I think that's one of the turnoffs about Christianity too, is like people are quick to be like, you're this, and point out that sin without being honest about who we are. I'm quick to be like, I don't have it all together. I'm quick to be like, sometimes God makes me upset. And it's funny, I was with my friends on a trip, and I was like, hey, God, it's me and my homegirls. And I just talked to God like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? My relationship with God changed so much when I realized it's okay to be like, God, I'm very upset with you right now. I'm here and I'm talking to you because I love you. You know, you have my best interest in mind. But I have no idea what you're doing, and it is upsetting me, and it is confusing me, and I am very frustrated with you right now. It transforms my relationship because now I know I can be honest, and I know I'm not always going to understand what God is doing. And in those times where I was so frustrated and I talked to God like that, months later I realized, okay, this is what she was doing. There's a reason why that didn't happen. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. We have to tell people, like, we have to take off this veil and this idea that you have to come to God a certain way or your heavenly father, and like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's okay to be like God. And that's not to say you don't come to God with reverence. Like, you have to have respect for who he is.
Yeah,
but it's okay to be like, I'm here with my homegirls and I'm praying that we have a safe trip up this mountain, or I'm praying that we have a nice night out and we're safe from all hurt, harm, and danger, and that you send your angels to protect us and that you're with us every step of the way. Or, God, I'm mad at you right now. I'm upset. I am angry. I don't even know what else to say to you, but I love you, and I know that it's all gonna work out for my favor and in my good, but I don't get it, and I'm upset with you about that. You know, we have to, I think that, like I said, my relationship transforms when I started being, he sees everything anyway, like, he know we mad, so it's just talk to him. Like, when we teach people that it's okay to have these open conversations with God, I think it transforms the way people see the church. Because right now it's like, well, if you don't come with this, and if I ask you how your day is and you don't say blessed, it's a problem. You know what I'm saying? When we take off that veil and that, you know what I'm saying, this idea that it has to be like this crazy formal all the time thing, I think we open up the doors to more people who need to be in the church, who have talents to offer the church, if that makes sense.
100%. And you know what's interesting too, like, there's so many things I want to say, but like, for one, I like the fact that you were talking about how, like, faith is like the substance of like what you hope for, the evidence of things that you don't see, right? So like, because you don't see it, like, it makes, like you said, it really does make you want to grab onto,
yeah,
like something natural.
Absolutely.
Whether it be a crystal or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think that something that I've said this almost every podcast now, but something that, like, I've just been realizing is, like, I, for a majority of my life, didn't even really give faith a try.
Yeah.
Because we're so used to living life where it's, like, we're making our decisions based on what we can see.
Yeah.
It's easy to kind of, like, actually really never apply faith in life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, that really isn't what God called us to do. Mm-hmm. And to your point, God did call us to live a life of faith and dig in, and even though it's annoying and hard,
it's hard sometimes.
But it's in doing that, you really do grow. And mm-hmm. if you're listening, I think everybody got to ask themselves the question: did you really give faith a try?
Yeah,
because it's like you said, it may not be an answer that you get 2 seconds later, but if you really lean into it, mm-hmm. like, it works. We're not. Like, we could be doing a lot of things right now, you know what yeah. I mean? But we decided to, we're sitting here talking on this podcast because we believe, yo, this is it. We're trying to tell you, we've leaned into it. We understand you may be it may look a little sus on the outside.
Yeah.
But it works.
But it works.
And the more you lean into it, the more your faith grows.
Yeah.
And it's like, a lot of us say we gave it a try mm-hmm. because we gave it a cognition, like a mental try.
Yeah.
Like, I like try to make sense of this. Mm-hmm. I didn't make sense. I tried to like look in life and see like tangible things that can make it make sense. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that. That ain't it.
Yeah.
And
I feel like, you know, you've tried faith when there's like everything that's happening to you is telling you like to let it go. And then you hold on to faith anyway. That's when you know you really are leaning into it tremendously.
Yep.
Like when you get that first test and you're like, ooh, this don't make no sense, but I'm gonna believe you anyway.
Yep.
Like, oh, I'm frustrated, but I'm gonna believe you anyway. Or like, I prayed about this and things are looking the complete opposite and I'm about to lose my job and I talked to you about how I don't have no money, so I don't know if I should, and you still push through anyway and keep believing. Like when you get hit with these things and you still hold on to faith when things get hard, that's how you know you're really, really leaning in.
And but to be
honest,
there's like
every reason for you not to and you still do, I think that's when you really are like, okay, you're really honestly going to stick it out. And it works. It's rewarding.
And when you read the Bible,
yeah,
that's what it's clear on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it says, lean.
It's gonna be easy.
It's not gonna be easy. And yo, lean not on your own understanding.
Exactly.
Like lean not on your own understanding. Lean into God. Mm-hmm. And it's a heavy call though, right? Like,
it's heavy.
Because it's like, all right, like I'm not about to, why this God? Or like, and yeah. There's a bigger conversation there. But at the end of the day, I think that like something that you do have to ask yourself is what are you putting your faith in? Like, because it is in something. It really, everybody is leaning on something. It's either yourself, mm-hmm. the culture, the world, money. It could be so many different things.
Yeah.
But you're basing your decisions and like your belief system on some sort of like foundation.
Yeah.
And you got to ask yourself, what is that foundation? And is it shaky?
Yeah.
And I think with it, just like for me, what, like we can look at all the research. Mm-hmm. Does sage work? Does sage doesn't work? Does crystals work? Does crystals doesn't work? There's research that says it does. There's research that says it doesn't. But for me, it's clear when you just look at the fact that, look, the crystals didn't just come out of nowhere.
The crystals didn't come out of nowhere. Sage ain't came out of nowhere.
It didn't come out of nowhere.
None of it came from nowhere.
So if something made this, mm-hmm. then okay, maybe you could put your belief system in that higher thing.
Yeah.
But then to your point, right? You said that right now, it's not God, it's like the universe, right?
Yeah, and it's called the universe. And I will admit, I've said that before as well, and I had to check myself, like, it's not the universe, it's the creator of the universe, you know what I'm saying? It's God. So people are afraid to say God, and I don't know why. I don't think that it's even a conscious thing people are doing. I think it's what is trending. I think it's just what people are, it's the sign of the times. I think we, universe this and universe that, but it's God. It's really God.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and I like that you fact that like right now I honestly genuinely think that like, although we can present it as if it's like polar opposites where you have like these people who just believe in like natural things and then these super Christians, mm-hmm. it's interesting because the reality of it is so much more different than like than that. Like I think that the majority, your average person that you see with a crystal, mm-hmm. just seen it at the mall. Mm-hmm. And maybe got convinced quickly, like, yo, like, that crystal, like...
My homegirl was saying this works, and, like, she's been praying, like, I mean, not praying, but she's been meditating and has her crystals, and she charges them in the full moon, and her life is going great, so maybe I should try that, because right now I'm frustrated, and I want what I want, and it's not happening, so maybe let's try something different.
I think that's, like, most people's, like, experience with it, and I don't think that they're, like, really putting their faith in that much.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, I think that, like, sometimes... We the church can be judgmental and they are.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of people, myself included sometimes if I'm being honest, where like I found myself like, oh, you on that demonic type time. I'm not on that right now. You know? And that is a problem. But if I'm being honest, when you go into church today, like it's not that it's gotten better though. Yeah. Like, and this is something that
I think it depends on the church that you're at.
That's true.
I think like a lot of these like new age churches, the congregation is a lot younger, the pastoral staff is a lot younger, and I think that those ones are a little bit more welcoming.
Yeah.
My only concern with that is a lot of these new churches are for trends. And about going viral, about the virality of the movement. I don't know if that's a word, but the viralness of the movement, and as opposed to the Bible-based learning we're supposed to go to church for.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me nervous. Like, we hear so many stories about pastors of these young churches who, not young churches, but younger leaning churches, yeah, I guess, yeah, that like are embezzling funds, or they said this, gave this lesson, but that lesson is not Bible, a Bible based lesson. And that makes me nervous.
No, and I actually just tapped in on the podcast before this with about that topic, and I learned a lot. So like right now, there are resources where you can like kind of vet to make sure, mm-hmm, like, oh, like, is this church that I'm going to put my trust in their leadership?
Yeah.
Are they teaching like the Bible true and true? There's, yeah, like, there's actually like, there's resources, and we can put it in the bio, yeah, or whatever, but there's resources that you can do, you can access to like get that information. But then it's also just like understanding too that like a pastor or like a spiritual leader is gifted in an arena, and now you already know, like, but they're not like, a perfect person.
They're not. They're human, and they have human flaws, and they make human mistakes. And I think for me, like, one of the things that I love most about my church is I do lean more towards pastoral staffs that are older. I feel like with life, people say with age comes wisdom. I don't think that's necessarily true. I think with life comes wisdom, and I think that they've lived a lot more life. Not all of, like, we have some young pastors at the church who have lived a lot of life, and their wisdom is undeniable, but there's this whole board of different ages, different experiences. So even if the head pastor in charge, if the bishop makes a mistake in a sermon or says something that is not necessarily aligned, that staff knows that they can come to him and be like, look, this is not aligning with the Bible, and this is why. And they all have this conversation, and that pastor will come back and apologize and say why this is wrong and what the correct thing is. I've seen that.
But to be honest, my whole thing is like, I just want to even help people get to a point of like even being able to identify that, like, that's something that they want to do.
Yeah.
Right. Because like right now, there's just a lot of, I just think your majority of people, it's just the gray.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not even that deep. You know what I mean? It's like, yo, like, I may pull up to this church on,
I mean,
you know, and it's, yeah, like, it is what it is. You, yeah, know what I mean? And it's kind of like, it's not prioritized. Mm-hmm. But we talked about this, and I say this a lot. If we are, like, most people accept the fact that we're spiritual. Mm-hmm. But then if we're spiritual, what happens to your spirit? And, like, it sometimes feels like that global warming conversation of, like, it's so far down the line,
yeah, that like later. Yeah.
Look, I got so much going on right now. You talk
when
about
I get older, I'll figure it
you
out.
You talk about
right
heavy,
now,
you talk about hell, bro. Yeah. I got bills right now.
Yeah.
But
and that's real.
No, like, it's important because when you acknowledge that you're spiritual, you also acknowledge that affects you today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's not just about the heaven and the hell, but it's about, hey, if you do want peace in life, if you do want to kind of like be aligned, your spirit plays a role in that.
Yeah,
there's mental health, mm-hmm, physical health, and then you got the spiritual matters. And your majority of people acknowledge it, but I think that because it's so confusing to figure out, mm-hmm, it's hard. And I think that if there's one thing that you can get out of listening to this, it's just knowing, yo, like, if you're putting your spirit in the hands of something natural, there may be a disconnect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, there's, I think that a lot of times, like you were saying, people either choose spiritual or choose Christian or choose religious. And like I was saying, we are spiritual beings. We're spiritual beings because God made us that way. And so to be spiritual, like, if you are truly spiritual, you get to understand your spirit is connected to something that's way bigger than this. And I believe that thing that's way bigger is God. Like I said, it seems like everything, like these movements and whatever, it's like we stop just short of what we're supposed to do. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, break that down.
Like, an analogy, for example, it's like you marinating the meat, but you're not cooking it. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is cool. Like, you gotta, this is an important part of the process of the cooking. This is a very important part. So the spirituality would be like, we're marinating the chicken.
Yeah, I'm not
watching.
This
is really great. Like, we are supposed to be tapped into spirit. We're supposed to make sure our feet are on solid ground and that we feel holy, like not holy like holy Jesus, but holy like the WWHO, like,
yeah,
whole in our spirit and whole as people. But it's more than just marinating chicken, right? You have to actually cook this too, and God is the cooking. Like, we have to go further than just the spirit. This is one part of something that's way bigger than just the spirit.
No, yeah, and I think it really just,
and we stop here. We don't dive, because diving deeper requires us to see ourselves more than just what we want to see, right?
Yeah.
When you're spiritual, you decide what practices make you feel whole, right? If I'm feeling like my spirit is down, I don't feel connected, I'll burn my incense and I'll pray and I'll meditate and I'll do my breathing exercises, or I'll avoid social media, or I'll eat this, or I'll fast, or I'll do that. That's how I connect me. When you connect to God, sometimes God calls us to do things that we don't want to do, or he shines a light on something that we're doing that he doesn't want us to do and makes us uncomfortable. And so the spiritual side, it's safety. It's we kind of make this decision ourselves. But when you go towards God, it's not necessarily about what we want to do anymore. It's what we are supposed to do, or we're called to do. And that can be very uncomfortable for people. So it makes sense that people stop at this part, because this is what I decide. This is all me deciding that. You know what I'm saying?
No, 100%. It's like on one end, I think I think a little bit of laziness too, right?
So
it's a lot of effort to like try to like figure yourself out spiritually when there's just so many options, so many things going on. It's like,
it's easy to go what's convenient and what feels the best.
Yeah, exactly. But then it's like, you gotta acknowledge the fact that, okay, what feels the best may not even be spiritual at all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it may just be you just being like just connecting to yourself, and it gets to the point where you do have to take that leap of faith into something, right? And whether you're gray on sage and crystals, or whether you're gray on Jesus, you're gray, whatever. I think that a lot of us today just stop because taking that vulnerable leap of faith is where it gets difficult.
And it doesn't always make sense. I think
it's not going to, if it made sense, then it wouldn't be faith.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And the faith, but the faith is what this all comes down to.
Right.
At the end of the day, that's literally.
Yeah. My hope is that when people say they're spiritual, they realize that there is a spiritual connection to God, or it's a spiritual connection to God. I think if people start to connect the spirit to a higher power, period, then we can get them closer to God and get them to God. Because just the fact that you say you're spiritual, there is no scientific proof of spirit. You know what I'm saying? So saying that you're spiritual already is a leap of faith in itself. If you believe in evolution, there is no evolutionary proof, or, you know, from what is it, the monkeys or whatever. There's nothing in that adaptation of when people evolving from monkeys to, if that's what you believe, nothing in there shows anything about spirits or souls or anything like that. So to say that you're spiritual in itself automatically implies that you believe in something that's bigger than what's right here that you can see.
Yeah.
Period. I think people might not see that, but all my religious, I'm spiritual. I understand. And most of the time when people say that, it's not that they aren't religious necessarily. It's that they don't go to church because the church hurt. Or they don't believe in it as an institution, or where I have to go and pay tithes, or I have to go and do this. But being spiritual in itself acknowledges that there is a spirit or there is a soul. And that's not something that's science-based. That's something that's Bible-based. You know what I'm saying? That's something that's a faith-based thing to believe in. And I don't think people really make that connection. And my hope is that people do, that people see that there is a connection between spirit and faith. Spirit and God. I think that having conversations like this between two people who be out and like we hang out with our friends, and like I don't want to say normal, but it just feels normal. Like it doesn't feel like there are any like guards up, or I have to talk like this when I'm around you, or say this when I'm around you. Like we let those guards down. People can say whatever they want and be who they are. I think that the more times we have these kind of conversations, we can enjoy that we live and that we talk. It's my hope that people can see that there is a connection between spirit and between faith.
100%. No, yeah, agreed.
And it's hard. It's hard. It is hard, but it is worth it. I will say that I've never been happier than I am right now. And it's not because life is all of a sudden so much better. It's because I pray so much and my faith has been restored and my faith has really been carrying me through. There's a happiness that I don't put in one person or put in one thing or in a crystal or in whatever. And because I'm not putting that into this one tangible thing, it can't be taken from me. It's something that God has given me.
No, it is worth it. And it is in today's day, it is difficult, right?
It's hard, but it is something
that you have to do. And in a weird way, I kind of respect anyone mm-hmm. who's putting effort into trying to figure themselves out spiritually in general, like, yeah, like genuine effort.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you, whether, however it's panned out for you,
yeah,
it's one thing,
but that you're trying and showing up, it says a lot. Cause it's, yeah, hard to show, it's hard to show up, and especially in today's age, it's like, think about everything that we're faced with. Like, we got a war that might happen right now. We got the pandemic. We got these food prices and gas prices. Like, there's a lot against us that's very stressful and very just, I think the depression and suicide rates right now are like sky high compared to years past. And so it takes a lot just to walk into the room and just to show up. And so just showing up, I think we need to give more credit where credit is due. That's a very hard thing to do.
No, yeah. And I like the fact that I think right now you see like mental health has been something that's highlighted, yeah, culturally. I think that the next step is to also kind of like make spiritual health something that's extremely, yeah, important too.
Absolutely.
And it's hard when the further you get into what you don't see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, mental health is at least backed up by science
absolutely.
And it's like, now we're kind of going into another realm where it's like, yo, you know, but what if, you know what I mean? Like, for like, what if the peace that you're looking for, the success, whatever you're the blessings of life that you're looking for have been attached to your spirit the whole time. And we've made that realization. Mm-hmm. And I think that once you do, it makes you want to let people know, like, yo, I'm trying to tell you, like, you know, this is where it's at.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that for me, and, you know, you're raised in the church too, I feel like faith is hard, but it's always been something I knew that I can lean on when I was ready to do it, because I've been in church all my life. Like, even in college, for example, there was a time where I wasn't going to church, but I always felt that pull because I grew up in the church. It was like a tetherball chain. Like, I'm over here, but I'm still getting called back and I'm still getting pulled, as opposed to somebody who might not have grown up that way. That pull isn't as there as somebody who grew up in the church. So I think that's something we have to consider too. Like, I can talk to my mom about God, and we're going to talk and we're going to get into it. I have an uncle who's a pastor, so I have those resources. But everybody doesn't grow up in families who place them in the church. And I think that's where we, as Christians who did grow up in a church, who also relate to other people or to people who might not, or, you know what I'm saying, where we can act as that.
Yeah, like, as if you're a Christian, like, just stop being weird. You know what I mean? Don't be, because it's like, if it was difficult for us, right?
Yeah.
People who grew up in the church to figure it out.
Imagine how hard it's people who didn't grow up like that, who literally are finding out about God for the first time. Who
exactly.
Don't have that background that, you know, I got baptized when I was 12. Like, I got baptized when I was younger, but I got baptized when I could understand it when I was 12. And so there are people who didn't go to church when they were younger.
Exactly.
Or they did go to church, and at a very young age, they were hurt and they stopped going when they were like 10 or something. So they haven't been, or the only church they've been to has been a church where the pastor was like embezzling funds and riding in a Lamborghini. Like, our backgrounds are different. That's something to consider too as Christians. It makes me sad when Christians do these like kind of hate campaigns. And it's, especially nowadays with the whole like identity thing that we're going, like, I don't know what we're going through, but there's a lot of push and pull about how people choose to identify. And I think that that's been a real test of faith and of who you are as a Christian. I think that we have to understand that everybody didn't grow up as we grew up. God didn't tell us that it's our job to give people labels or identify. That's what she said. That's them. Our job is to love them regardless of what they consider themselves or how they identify or what their pronouns are. That's one thing that's really been bothering me. I had a conversation with my mom too. Like, she's like, I don't want to call myself she, her. I'm obviously a woman. I said, it's not about you. You know what I'm saying? And when you have that kind of an attitude, you justify people's like trepidations about getting involved in church. Well, they don't like me anyway, so why would I go there? You know what I'm saying? God didn't call us to decide people's sexualities or people's pronouns or people's identities.
Yeah.
He called us to love them. That's our only job. And to live a life that would inspire them so they can do whatever they want to with that. And I think that's one of the reasons why we are not supposed to know everything. You know what I'm saying? Like you said earlier, why would we need faith if we knew everything?
Exactly.
And we have to open ourselves up and be more loving and empathetic to people so that we can at least get them in the room. That is what our job is as Christians. Not to judge people or, you know, rebuke them or stay away from them or be mean towards them. Our job is to love them. And I think that makes me sad to see as Christians, people, like, I see online people like going in or you know, being really cruel to people.
Online is where it goes down. It is
awful. And I think it makes me sad that, you know, there's so much awful out there that people might think that that's what Christianity is like. And it's Christianity done right is not like that at all.
No, yeah. And I just want to make a point, too. Like, when you see posts like let's say, like, of somebody online, do you typically, like, make comments if you don't know that person? No. So I highlight that to say, like, the what we see online is, like, typically, like, not even a representation of, like, what's happening. Like, if somebody's online and they're like, I'm a Christian and I'm struggling with, like, identifying my sexuality or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. They may be people in the comments or whatever online who go ham on you, but just know in real life, there's a lot of non-weirdos.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who are just open to love, mm-hmm. open to help, and not, you know, just not on that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
No, 100%. 100%. Well, yeah. I mean, honestly, like, I just think that if, like, you don't have to have all the answers, but it's just important to just lean into, like, okay, I do have a spiritual side. Let me kind of try to figure that out. Yeah. And let me not put that on the back burner.
Yeah.
Let me not just keep putting that on the shelf and addressing, like, what's immediately in front of me or what I can see. Let me try to put some work into, like, what's going on with my spirit? You know what I mean? Because it matters. The spiritual health matters.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And, you know, like, everybody has a different path to God, too. You know what I mean? Like, I was listening. I ran it down a crazy rabbit hole last night of just listening to this dude who, like, started as, like, I guess what they're calling, like, pro new age, mm-hmm. where he was just, like, dumb into crystals, manifesting, burning sage, and even more deeper than that. Like, he was, mm-hmm. like, just real nerded out on, like, earthly new age spirituality. And through that journey, he actually got to a point of, like, major success from, like, promoting all that. And then he got to a point where he said, actually, this ain't it. And it really is Jesus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's what I'm saying. Like, I got respect for anybody who's just digging into it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that, look, I think, you know, it's going to work out. You know what I mean?
I think it's important, like you said earlier, we don't have to know it all. And you don't have to have it all together to start. You know, I think we kind of figure out if we don't have, like, have this plain black and white idea of what we're doing or what faith is, that we can't really lean into it until we decide that. You don't have to have it all together to get started. You really don't. You don't have to know everything. And if anything, it's okay to not know everything and lean into not knowing everything. Be okay and be comfortable knowing that, you know what I'm saying? It's not your job to know everything. That, you know, I just feel like we wouldn't even be able to completely handle knowing everything. I remember, like, being little. I know this is kind of deep, but, like, when you were little, you didn't really realize how racist the world could be. And everything was just bliss, and it was great. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like the world is so expansive, and faith is just so big, and Christianity is just so much bigger than what's in the Bible, that if we knew all of it, we would be so overwhelmed that we couldn't even, like, live life. Like, it would just be too much for us, like, as human beings, understanding something supernatural that much. We're not meant to. We're not supernatural beings. You know, we're spiritual beings. And so I hope that people see me and know I don't know it all, and I'm okay with not knowing. Like, that's where faith fills in all those gaps.
In Matthew 6:33, basically, you see, it reads, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." These things being, like, the needs of life.
Absolutely.
And when reading that, I think that that kind of helps sum up this situation a lot, because it basically says, yo, like, God understands you have needs. Mm-hmm. He has your best interest in mind.
Yeah.
Seek him first, and he'll use the world in a way that best serves you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It best serves you and still glorifies him for who he is and all that he can do and all that he has done.
And it's like, if you want to serve something, if you're serving something that you fully understand, mm-hmm. aren't you bigger than what you're serving?
That's very,
you know what
very,
I mean? Like, if you're serving, like, a crystal that you fully understand the mechanisms mm-hmm. about, is it beneath you, or aren't you above, you know what I mean? So I think that, like, when you think about it like that, God and the way he's positioned himself really makes sense, in that we don't understand him, and like you said, we probably shouldn't, you know what I mean?